Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Thursday, birds, and welcome to a Halloween edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, and Julian Voss.
There's
the
no
gang
way.
Is back
We're
together.
All back.
Finally, back. All back together. And let's just say this, we had a jam-packed show today with plenty of great content. We have some interviews with some IHSA coaches from around the area coming up in the next part of the hour. But first, we have a very, very special guest, not live in studio, but Joey, my friend to my right, was able to bring an awesome interview with DJ Horn Jr. Mm-hmm. Joey, if you kind of want to lead into who DJ is, as well as a little bit about the interview itself.
So DJ, he used to play at Illinois State, but then he transferred to Arizona State, and then he played at North Carolina State this season, the team that did the Cinderella run to the Final Four along with DJ Burns. So he had a very eventful career, and now he's playing overseas in Germany. But we talked about it from the beginning, how he was unranked in high school to where the man he is today and how that journey's been. So you get to see a little bit of his whole life unfold in front of you guys.
Once again, this is DJ Horn Jr., former Illinois State Redbird.
First off, thank you again so much for your time. It is greatly appreciated, especially, you know, with the time difference, a little hard to schedule, but we are here, and I'm grateful to have you.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys reaching out, man. I know it was going to be a little tricky trying to find a good time to do it, but luckily, you know, we were able to find something that worked for both of us.
Yeah, we're locked in. That's huge. So let's get into this. Growing up, like, who would you say you wanted to model your game around, and do you think you pulled that off?
Growing up, I watched a lot of Russell Westbrook. Like, I was, like, when I first started getting introduced to basketball, like, that was my favorite player. So, I would say now my game doesn't really look exactly like his as far as, like, just, you know, relentlessly attacking the basket. Feel like I got a nice outside shot, and I, like, you know, depend on it a lot of times, but at times I can get to the basket. But, I think, as far as comparing the two, I like to use my athleticism to, you know, my advantage. So I can say we can compare in that category.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's huge. And then, so according to 247 Sports, in high school you were an unranked prospect. So I'm dying to know, like, how do you get your name out there? Because it's kind of hard to be a little more marketable. You know, got the stars next to your name.
Yeah, I mean, for me, early on, you know, it was all about the work, honestly. From day one, everything I kind of did as far as when I was younger, when I was first getting into the basketball thing, everything was just kind of overlooked. I thought I was personally playing good. I mean, where I'm at now, looking back at it, I mean, I could definitely say, like, I could see why I might have been a little overlooked just for understanding what, you know, college coaches, professionals, what they look for. So, I would say for me, just, you know, being able to get to where I got to, it was just keeping my head down and just taking advantage of every opportunity that was really given to me.
And then to add on to that, it's kind of hard to get the name out there, so it can be a little tough mentally. So I'm wondering, like, how do you stay locked in those moments when you're not getting the results you may be looking for?
You know, it is hard, I'm not going to lie. Especially when you think you're doing everything right and it's just not translating to, like, the buzz being around your name. So that, you know, definitely it lit a fire under me, and I feel like every time I did step on the court, that is something that motivated me to, you know, basically, like I said, take advantage of every opportunity. And then, you know, playing in some of the tournaments and early on, you know, just getting matched up with some of the big time prospects, those were, you know, like, times where I wanted to go out there and kill, like, anybody who was ranked higher than me or on the ranking boards or whatever. That was a time for me to make a name for myself. So, really just trying to take advantage of every opportunity.
Yeah, and that's a major blessing. And despite not being from the Bloomington area, you end up committing to Illinois State. So I'm wondering, how did you guys get in contact and what made you want to commit to Illinois State?
Ultimately, coming out of high school, recruitment was very slow for me. I think it was literally going into my senior year of high school. We had like a pro day, not really a pro day, but like a college day in high school. So, basically kind of like anywhere, like 15, 20 college coaches came to watch us practice. And Illinois State, Dan Mullen was in there watching us play. And shortly after that, you know, I got my first offer from them. And for me, after that, you know, I had a couple more trickle in off the top of my head. I remember it was like St. Louis, Towson, Northern Kentucky, I believe. I forget the other one. It might have been five, but Illinois State being the fifth. But, you know, they were the first to offer me. And for me, that kind of stuck out to me, hit home, because, like, for me being under-recruited and them being the first school to, you know, take a chance on me, said a lot. And it ultimately is what led me to go there, because I wanted to, you know, give the school that gave me opportunity, you know, an opportunity for me to go there and show my talents.
Yeah, and that's so real. But then now we have our time at Illinois State, and normally not a lot of pros are being produced in Bloomington Normal at this rate, but you look at this team, and there's two noticeable names. There's you, and there's Antonio Reeves. So I'm wondering to know, like, how did he make you a better player? Like, how did you guys help each other out?
Yeah, I mean, we came in as freshmen together. I remember, like, we basically did almost everything together. Like, we were roommates in the dorms up until COVID hit, and then we, you know, transitioned from the dorms to our first apartment together. So just, you know, that chemistry that we were able to build, you know, when times got hard, we just leaned on each other. And I mean, we're gym rats. I mean, Tone lived in the gym, you know, and he would motivate me to get in the gym with him, just how, you know, how locked in he was, and it would just, you know, bounce off of each other. I think so. Basically getting the work done when nobody was watching, and then being able to know, like, you know, we're both in it together. You know, it's not just one of us going through it. So I think it helped a lot. And, I mean, you guys see where we are now.
Yeah, that's so crucial. And with you guys being, like, so close at the time, do you guys still stay in contact?
Oh, yeah. We definitely still stay in contact, as well as a lot of other guys that I've played with at Illinois State. So, and, you know, it's good to see all his work has paid off, and then he's, you know, playing in the pros now. And I think it'll only be a matter of time before he starts making a name for himself there too.
Yes, sir. I love the confidence you guys have. Great players. So then once Illinois State's done, you're going to end up transferring to the Big 12 and the ACC. But I was just wondering, or excuse me, the Pac-12, not the Big 12. I'm wondering which conference you say is a little more difficult to play in.
Honestly, I would say they were both pretty good conferences. You know, you had your Arizonas, your UCLA's top of the conference usually. So, I mean, I could see a lot of similarities in the ACC this past year with, like, Duke, UNC being at the top of the ACC. So, I would say they were kind of like the same for me, at least. I would think that I just was able to flourish more in the ACC because of, like, my experience that I got just throughout the course of my college career.
Okay. And then when it comes to Illinois State, we haven't made March Madness since 1998. It's been a little bit of a while. So for the people that aren't too familiar, I need to know, what's it like playing in March Madness? What's that experience like?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Just starting off with the social media influence that you have. Like, you know, we had people following us around with cameras and stuff, like, every other day. Now, I mean, NIL is a thing, so, like, everybody wanted to do NIL deals with us, and the deeper we went into March, the more deals just kept coming, because, you know, there's only a few teams left playing. So it was crazy, man, just seeing all the fan love we got and all the attention. It was like we were rock stars for, like, you know, those few months that we were playing in it, especially, like, you know, gaining the whole Cinderella story vibe or whatever we had going. But it was fun, man.
Yeah, I need to ask about that Cinderella run with you guys being the 12th seed and then making it all the way to the Final Four. It seems like a very challenging thing, especially when you had to win every game, like, straight in the ACC. So what's the mentality you guys need to have to stay locked in to make it that far? Like, does it change throughout the tournament? Like, what was just the mentality throughout?
For us, I mean, we definitely came together as a team. I'll never forget it. Before we went to D.C. for the ACC tournament, you know, we had a team little meeting, basically just stating, like, you know, we started off the year very strong. I can't remember exactly the statistics, but in the ACC, it was something that NC State hadn't done in a minute. So just really reflecting back on the whole season, knowing that we were a good team, and it was just, you know, taking us some time to put it together. And I think that really, you know, set in with us. And then we went out there one game, took it one game at a time. We won the first one. And I think from there, everybody just really locked in and understood their roles and, you know, what got us to win. And then we just really didn't change anything after that. We saw what was working and we just stuck to it, and it took us a long way.
And then I want to talk about NIL and the marketability, because one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in the tournament, was DJ Burns. I'm just kind of wondering, my first question is, what's he like in the locker room? Because he seems a bit like a character.
Yeah, man, he's probably the most energized teammate I've ever had. Like, you know, the vibes could be down any day, and you know, when he walks in, you know, it's like just energy. He's always talking and always laughing, smiling and stuff, cracking jokes. So like, it's just fun to be around him. And then when he's on your team and all the, you know, publicity he bought our team, it just made it even better, because like, you know, we're going out there playing a game we love and having fun with it every day. It wasn't like it was like a burden or anything, or we got another game. Like, it was everything we did, it was fun. And then just having, like I said, somebody like him that is bringing in so much energy, you know, somebody you want to be around.
So we also talk about March Madness being, you know, the biggest tournament, kind of something everybody dreams of. I need to know, the Final Four, with that being like one of the biggest taglines, how are you feeling walking out, like seeing the massive crowd and the lights? Like, did you feel like accomplished? Like, what's the feelings running through your head when you're walking onto that court?
It was kind of crazy. One, just to be back in Arizona where I had just left ASU. So it was like right up the street. So coming back to Arizona to play in the Final Four, it was crazy, man. Like, I definitely had my little moments where I was just walking around, looking around like, wow, throughout the whole course of my basketball journey, it's led me up to this point. You know, obviously would have felt really accomplished how we won the whole thing, but you know, just to get there, not too many people get to experience that. So it was definitely a moment to just take back and, you know, let it all sink in for sure.
So you have that Cinderella run, and now you're playing professional in Europe, playing in Germany. I need to know, how has that adjustment been for you?
It's been pretty good, honestly. It was something that weighed on my mind kind of heavy, especially with, you know, just the run that we went on, doing all the NBA stuff in the summer, and then, you know, really coming down to that decision-making time, like, what did I want to do with my next step in my, you know, career, moving across the world. I mean, it was kind of an adjustment at first, getting over here, trying to get used to the way of life, the different foods, different languages and all that. But I would say after being here for some time now, it's been good. I feel like I made the right choice, especially with, you know, just the way the season has been going for us so far and the way I've been, you know, personally playing.
And then I want to come back to Germany in a second, because I want to talk a little bit about the NBA process. What was that like for you? And is there certain advices you got from certain management or staff for how you can improve and maybe see yourself in the NBA in the future?
Yeah, that process for me, it was very eye-opening. You just going through all the, you know, testings and then like basically every stop you made was like an audition for like a job, really. And everybody's fighting for those few small limited spots. So just the dedication and the sacrifice you got to make to like really put in that work every day and basically try to be perfect every time you step out there on that court. It was eye opening. And, I would say I definitely benefited from that whole experience, you know, doing the summer league, getting to see all the top, recruits, top picks and everything like that. It was fun, and it definitely let me know, like, okay, this is where I match up, you know, against these guys. I can compete with these guys. And, you know, after taking the whole process and talking it over with coaches and agents and all of that stuff, I think I got a clear picture of, you know, how I can find myself, you know, finding a niche back over there after, you know, a few years over here doing what I need to do. It's all about just finding that right fit.
It's all about the right fit and just being in the right time in the right scenario. But let's come back to Germany, because I'm wondering, like, how is the style of play different in Germany compared to what you were doing in the NCAA?
I would say the league that I'm in, it's just physical, man. It's borderline like football, I would say. But that for me, that's been the biggest adjustment, just the physicality of the game out here. I feel like it's in a way similar to college because of the speed of the game, mm-hmm. but just the physicality and, you know, like what the refs let you get away with and stuff out here. It's a lot more physical. I feel like if I was in the States playing, you know, the way we play out here, it would just be a free throw shooting contest. But I think that that'll help me, you know, be able to take the game back over to the States where it's not as physical, mm-hmm. and I'll be able to, like, you know, add things to my game, playing through contact, getting to the rim more, and things like that.
Perfect. I love that. And this will lead to my final question. You kind of had, like, I don't want to say, like, be, you know, over the top of this. We kind of had, like, a little bit of a movie-type career where you're an unranked prospect coming out of high school, and then you're a lead point guard for a Final Four team. So it's been a journey that's had its ups and downs, and now you're playing in Europe. So this is my question is, if you were to go back to, like, your elementary or middle school self who's, like, dreaming of this journey, what advice would you give him?
Honestly, I would, you know, it's crazy to just, you know, even think about it, just the whole journey. But I would just say, like, you know, everybody has their own path, really, and to not let, you know, myself get discouraged just because it might look different from somebody else's. And that would really be about it, because I know just looking back on my childhood, I always used to, like, compare a lot, you know, look at certain guys that I would either play against, play with, and just, you know, try to compare my game and see, you know, what they were getting, the offers and stuff like that. And then even later on, like, the looks and the pros and all of that stuff. But just understand that everybody's path is different.
Well, DJ, thank you so much for your time and good luck with the rest of your season, whatever life brings your way.
Appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
WZND back here on the Red Zone with some more interview content coming your way. Officially starting tomorrow, the IHSA playoffs officially kick off, and there's plenty of teams from the Bloomington Normal area that will be in those playoffs. We're going to first start, special thank you to Liam Lyons for getting both of these interviews, but we're going to first start with Bloomington Central Catholics coach Kevin Broad, as they're currently 5-4 in the season and getting ready to play a big game this upcoming weekend. Right now, you're listening to Kevin Broad, head coach of Central Catholic High School.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, we're in the playoffs and feel good about that. But looking to be ready on Friday to hopefully advance.
Yeah. So first question, kind of like going off what we just talked about. Tell everyone how Central Catholic got to where they are. How go for the season.
So we're 5-4 currently. I'd say we kind of had a up and down season. Not that we're disappointed by any means, but we're at a point right now where we've played some really good football. We've played very good competition all season. Lost two games on the last play of the game earlier in the season. Just didn't make enough plays, and it came down to the end. And just kind of, you know, got the short end of it. But I feel like we got a good football team. We got some really good seniors that we've relied on. And, you know, like I said, looking forward to our opportunity, on Friday.
So going off of that a little bit, are there any key moments, like plays, winning drives or whatever, that really defined your season so far?
I think one of the probably the highlight to this point, in a specific game would be our Tolono Unity game. We had come off two consecutive weeks of last play losses, and we were feeling the pressure, but knew that it was a game that we needed, and Unity's a perennial power in our league, and knew what they provided, and since I've been the head coach, we had not beaten Unity at Unity in a couple attempts. So, you know, I think the way we played in that game on both sides of the football was a highlight. Established both sides of the line of scrimmage on offense and defense, and felt good about how we played. throughout that game in some very tough conditions. It was 40-mile-per-hour winds. You know, kicking game was pretty much obsolete because of the wind. Then it started to rain in the second half. So I thought our kids did a really good job of kind of blocking out the elements and just focusing on the task at hand, and came away with a hard-fought victory, you know. And if you know anything about our conference, I mean, we have a very competitive conference. We're sending teams to the quarterfinals, semis, and even state championships on most years. So any win in our conference on the road is a good win.
Yeah, so actually the past year or so, I've been the high school beat reporter for WZND, so I've got to learn all about your conference, all the other Bloomington Normal teams and all their conferences. And, yeah, you said it. You guys definitely got a competitive one. As you mentioned, you're sending teams to state and quarterfinals and all that. But I feel like you guys were able to really kind of stand out towards the end of that last half of the season, too. You guys were able to win some good games and obviously get to where you are right now.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that's coached long enough, at least in the state of Illinois, because, you know, how our playoff system is set up, knows that, you know, not everybody gets in the playoffs, so you got to earn your right. And you know, that's like winning a regional championship in basketball or baseball in the state of Illinois. So making the playoffs is a big accomplishment, but also not our only goal. I mean, it's just one of the things that we highlight. And at our school, you know, very tradition-based school where we have 32 playoff appearances, you know, over the last 50 years in the state of Illinois, you know, making the playoffs is an expectation. It was when I played there 30-plus years ago, and it still is, you know, with myself and our staff. But listen, we're battle-tested right now. We've played in pretty much every type of game you can play in. So I feel good about where we're at. You know, and when you get to the playoffs, it's really about matchups. I mean, it really is. And you're just kind of seeing where you can go.
So in your last part there, you talked about matchups, and you guys got that game against Tri-Valley this Friday. Are there any players that you want to highlight for your team, or any, like set group of guys that really help your team stand out in this matchup against Tri-Valley Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's got, you know, key players on both sides. I think as a whole, I would really kind of like to highlight both our offensive and defensive line. That's going to be the key to the football game for us is our five up front against their four or five and our defensive line against their offensive line. So it's really more of a unit-based, you know, kind of question for me is, you know, we're going to rely on our offensive line and our defensive line to put us in a good position. And, you know, if we can do that, you know, I feel good about where we're at. We have been a little bit banged up this year. So, you know, hoping, fingers crossed, over the next, you know, over the next day here, we might get a couple guys back. But we were out six starters 3 weeks ago, and we're slowly getting some guys back. Some will not be back, but we've had young kids step up, you know, in that part of the season and continue to step up over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we're going to rely on those guys also as they've gained a little bit more experience.
So looking into this matchup, you guys play a Tri-Valley team out of Downs, Illinois. They are 8-1, undefeated in conference. What motivates your team heading into this matchup? What's going to really stand out for you? They're on the road, correct? Yeah, this is a game on Friday night. Yeah,
yep.
So on the road, what's going to motivate your Central Catholic team going into this game against the Vikings of Tri-Valley?
I mean, I think at this point in the season, if you need motivation, you know, to play hard with good effort, you know, in a win or go home mindset, then you're probably not ready for the playoffs, quite frankly. And if our team is in that spot, then we haven't done a good job as a staff to motivate our kids. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, kind of faceless, nameless opponents. Does not make any difference who we play. You know, you got to respect whoever you play, regardless of record or conference or level of football. So for us, it's been about consistency. Our message doesn't change. We have a 1-0 mindset every week, regardless of how we did the last week, regardless of who we play. the stakes are just a little bit higher now, you know, and I think, you know, I don't need to tell our kids that if we don't play good football, you know, we're not going to be playing next week. They know that. So there's no reason for me to remind them of that. You know, my job is to just make sure that we're doing the little things and the details correctly that we started doing, you know, in June 1st, you know, in regards to fundamental football and making sure that our situational football is on point. And when those things arise in the game, that, you know, we're ready for them, and it doesn't matter, you know, how big or small the game is. You know, we kind of like to have that level mindset. But there's definitely, you know, there's motivation, obviously, I think, between the two schools just because of our proximity that I don't have to highlight. They know that. You know, we don't play in their conference, so we're not in the same conference. So we don't play them in football. Honestly, I don't know if Central Catholic's ever played Tri-Valley in football. But we do play in other sports, you know, both girls and boys. So, you know, there's obviously motivation there, but none that I need to highlight.
All right, so one last question for you, Coach. So we were talking a lot about recently about this game against Tri-Valley tomorrow night. What would you say is going to be the key for Central Catholic to win this game? Are you guys going to be lying heavy on your offense or defense, or is it going to be really an all-out battle? What would you say is going to help you stand out in this one?
Yeah, I think now it's an all-out battle. I mean, every aspect of the game is very important. You know, special teams, offense, defense, situational football. But I think it comes down to, you know, football 101. If we can run the football, protect the football, play at our tempo, and play aggressive, I feel good on offense. And if we can align correctly, run to the ball, and avoid missed tackles on defense, I feel, you know, like we're going to have an opportunity to win and compete in the fourth quarter. And at the end of the day, you know, when you get into November football, that's really all you can ask for out of your kids is try to preach the same things you've been preaching since, you know, you started your summer. You know, if you put too much importance on the actual game, I think it can maybe get a little bit misguided. And, you know, just really hone in on the fundamentals. You know, on Monday, we kind of have a program development type practice every Monday where we just kind of reset and really just work on blocking and tackling as a program. And we did that again week one of the playoffs. We didn't talk about Tri-Valley, didn't watch Tri-Valley's film, and we focused on us. And then Tuesday, we turned the page. So, you know, I think if our kids, you know, have that mindset, it should be a fantastic football game.
Well, Coach, I just want to wish you the best of luck in your game at Tri-Valley tomorrow. Wish the best of luck to Central Catholic. Is there anything you want to say to the fans of Central Catholic, just to anyone in general, about your guys' team and what's to come? I mean, now's your time.
No, listen, just appreciate all the support, you know, from our Saints Nation, and looking forward to seeing them come out and watch us on Friday nights, you know, in a spirited battle against a local opponent, and I think it's good for local football and, you know, both communities. So really looking forward to it, and appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, Coach, just want to let you know that everyone here at WZND is rooting for you guys in this game tomorrow night. Been covering Normal Bloomington football teams all high school football season, and just we'll be covering you. We'll be looking out, wishing the best of luck, and go take down Tri-Valley.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate the coverage, and, you know, hopefully, you know, if we do our job, we'll move on, and maybe I'll talk to you down the road.
First question, like, regarding your team. So tell everyone how you guys got to where you are right now. Obviously, a very impressive regular season, undefeated in conference play. Just let everyone know about how Normal Community got to where they are.
Well, I think the way how we got to this point was we had a great winter in the weight room and off season. We had an outstanding spring and summer, which allowed us to be really prepared for our regular season. And I think what we've been able to do throughout this year to end up 8-1 is to stack a lot of really good days of practice together and continue to get better from week one to week nine. And along with that, I feel like we've really played complementary football. Our defense has played at a really high level, as has our offense. And special teams has made major contributions into outcomes of games. And I think any time that you have a really good off season. You practice well in all three levels, not all three levels, all three phases, find ways to contribute to success or impact games. Typically, that's going to lead to a successful regular season like we've had. Our coaching staff has done a great job of getting our kids prepared on a week-by-week basis, and our players have done an outstanding job of buying in into how important practice is and being locked into a game plan that's going to require unique things from them week to week.
You really mentioned all three aspects of the game, their offense, defense, special teams, and obviously also the offseason. Are there any players or even like groups of like on your offense or defense that you want to highlight going into this game against Chicago West? I mean, there's usually a few guys that stand out, but I know it's a team game. But if there's any guys that like you want to give credit to, now's your time.
Well, I think offensively, you know, it starts with Kyle Beatty, a three-year starter quarterback. Kalen Taylor's had an outstanding year running back, and then Marquand Gary has been every bit as impressive as he was last year. But I think sometimes the unsung guys are going to be our offensive line, Alden Wagner, Mason Caraway, and Gabe Nege have done a great job. And really, though, our offensive line is led by returning starters Braden Mazanowski and Reed Johnson. Just have done a great job of holding that group to a high standard. Defensively, you know, we really only returned 3 of 11 guys from last year. So defensively, we've been driven by A.J. Montoya on the defensive line, Jace Wilson at outside linebacker, Marquand at corner, and then you would add in there that Wynton Carlock, our Sam linebackers, had a great year along with other guys. So our returners have done an outstanding job, but guys that were new this year have really raised their level of play. And I think that's just always something we've been really blessed with here at Normal Community is guys that maybe didn't play as sophomores or juniors get the opportunity to have a starting role and are very impactful.
That's really good that you have guys who really can just, like, just make their way up and make a name for themselves. I mean, it's always good when there's every team gets a chance, like, to let players develop and stuff. And I've seen the Normal Community has definitely done that in these last few years. I've been following them when I've been doing high school beat reporting the last 2 years for ZND, and I think that you guys have definitely impacted the game a lot up in this Normal Bloomington area, and yeah, credit to you guys for a lot for what you guys have been able to do in these last few years.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
My next question for you would be, you guys had any key moments or any like big like plays from the regular season this like that got you to where you are right now? Like any like last minute drives or like game winning plays or something that just really stood out in some of your games so far?
I think it would probably be a unique one, but like our only loss this year was week 4 to Kankakee, and we were down 26-0 at halftime. And, you know, that's really concerning. But the way we approached halftime, our players and our coaches, and how we played in the second half to make it a 26-13 or 14 game with a chance to make it a one-score game, I thought that was really crucial in how we continued to build. You know, there's no moral victories, but it was definitely something that we could build upon. So I was proud of that. Bloomington was a one-score game at halftime, and we were able to take control and make plays defensively and offensively to kind of get some separation, and we did a lot of that on special teams. And then Peoria High, our other big game, I thought a key moment on Friday was I can't remember the exact score at halftime, but the opening kickoff, they onside kick it, and we execute how we've been handling one of their specific onsides, and we return it for a touchdown. So I think if you look back at those games, those are some of the key moments, how we handled the second half of Kankakee, our ability to extend the game against Bloomington, and how we started the second half against Peoria High.
Yeah, so one more question that kind of goes off of that, Coach, is so every team goes through, like, adversity or there's, like, moments in the season that really define who you are as a team. And heading into the playoffs, you guys are heading into the IHSA 7A playoffs. Is there anything that motivates your team or motivates you personally as a coach heading into these playoffs? I mean, 7A and 8A are probably two of the biggest divisions in IHSA, and there's a lot of good teams out there. Not saying anything bad to the other ones, but there's a lot of good teams out in 7A. So what really motivates you guys heading into this round of playoffs?
Well, I think motivation for me is I just want our players to have the best experience they could possibly have their senior and junior year in the playoffs. You know, I want them to be successful, find ways to survive in Vance, and continue playing. I mean, that's my motivation because for some of them, this is their last go. I think we're always motivated in 7A because we know the type of talent that's going to play there. And sometimes people don't think a lot about us being one of the few downstate 7A schools. And sometimes I feel like that allows us to put a little bit of a chip on our shoulder. And I guess finally, I just want us to continue to be in the best version of ourselves, continue to improve, compete the right way, be there for each other, and try to find a way to lift each other up so that we can survive and advance and keep this special group of young men together as long as we possibly can.
And then one last question I can ask you. So round one, as Jerry mentioned, play Chicago West, and that'll be, I believe that's a Friday game, right, Coach?
Correct. We play them 7:30 tomorrow night.
Okay, so 7:30 tomorrow night, Chicago West. What are the keys to winning this game? Are you guys focusing more on the defensive side, offense? What's gonna really help you against this team, Chicago West?
Well, one, I think we have, you know, we got to continue to have a good week of practice, starting with today's Thursday run through and polish things up. We've had a really good week so far. I think that's a key. I think keys for going against them. Number one, you know, they're a double tight, double wing, triple option team, something we haven't seen this year. We got to be able to handle their option game with great discipline, technique, focus, and eyes, and be able to be repetitious on how we do that and not get lulled to sleep and not do our assignment. Number two, we got to win the special teams game. I think there are some advantages that we have out there, but they do a lot of really good things in special teams. And then offensively, we just got to continue to be explosive, handle them up front. Their D-line is big and physical, just like their offensive line is really good and physical. And we got to be able to take care of the ball and make big plays and be explosive like we've been all year.
Well, Coach, I just want to say best of luck to you guys in your round one game and also rest of the playoffs if this game goes the way you guys want it to go. Before I let you go, is there anything you want to say to your fans out in Normal Community, just the area of Normal in general, or just like anything else? Now's your time to talk.
Well, I would just say I hope everybody comes out on Friday and just want to thank everybody that's been involved in making Ironman football special. Our coaching staff has done a great job, our players, all our families, our school, our administration. And then also just a thank you to all the media like you guys that take time to cover us and high school football here in town. It really is special here. We just appreciate the coverage and appreciate all of you out there in the media world making high school football players and high school athletes here in this area feel special and giving them exposure and attention. So just thank you to everybody.
Yeah, well, thanks, Coach. I'll just let you know that everyone here at WZNB is rooting for you guys. All the other teams in Normal Bloomington will be covering you guys for games to follow. And, yeah, just really appreciate you taking the time for this interview.
WZND back here on the Red Zone. Once again, thank you so much, Coach Brott, Coach Drankwitz, and DJ Horn for providing us with those interviews. Thrilling 30 minutes of content. We currently really enjoyed that one. But for the next 5 minutes before we get into pick six, we're going to talk a little bit about the World Series. Obviously, myself, Joey LeMaster, Julian Voss, and we're joined by Jasper Jones. Jasper, thank you so much for joining the Red Zone.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. So last night capped off the end of the Major League Baseball season with the Dodgers winning their 8th World Series in franchise history, their first since 2020. The 2020 ring that was known as Mickey Mouse is officially fulfilled. Shohei Ohtani, a World Series champion, Freddie Freeman with an all-time October run on a broken ankle. And yeah, we're just going to break it down here for you guys. So Joey, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this whole World Series run from the Dodgers?
Well, I thought it was very impressive for the Dodgers. I was a little underwhelmed by the series until it got to this game because it was just kind of blowout throughout. The bats were not going for the Yankees, but then they started showing in game 4. It's like, oh, it's going to get real interesting. But then inning 5, when we thought we were going to get another game for the Yankees, it just went downhill after that. Very unfortunate. And Man, I don't want to sound like a hater. I just have Debbie Downer news. I feel like it's bringing the vibes down. Was just when you're looking forward to like the Ohtani versus Judge, you know, like superstar matchup. Both of them kind of really didn't perform that well. But again, Game Five was super exciting. I had a fun time watching it.
Yeah, for me, I feel like this was a matchup that everybody kind of expected, but they didn't want to see at the same time. You wanted to see something kind of different. But with these two like high power teams, like their payrolls are insane with the amount of money they pay everybody. It was pretty expected that these were going to be the two teams up top, but I was like I was more impressed with how the Dodgers just kind of killed them this whole series. Yeah. I thought it was going to be pretty close, pretty like tightly played this whole entire series, but you could just see that the Dodgers, like, they've been that team since the beginning of the year, and they kind of showed it with playing the Yankees throughout this whole series. So I can see them going back to back next year too. That's how good this team can be.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I thought that like it was going to be a much closer series than it really was, and like you said, it was just dogs. Like, they were getting dogged every single game. But that last game, 0-5, right?
Yeah, 5 mm-hmm. and they came back from 5-0 run.
That's like actually insane, like, to come back from that. So
it's really just, it's crazy, and we were talking about it while all those interviews were playing, was just the collapse of the Yankees. I think everyone in the Major League Baseball world kind of felt like, all right, like, we're going to get a Game 6. We might be getting this classic series of the two marquee teams of Major League Baseball. Like, it finally feels like we might be getting that series that we were all hoping for. And then just costly errors by the Yankees. I mean, it starts with their MVP, their captain, Aaron Judge, dropping a routine fly ball in center field. You know, if he catches that, it's 5-0 still, and we're heading into the sixth inning. Anthony Volpe made a key defensive miscue, and then just the whole discussion of Rizzo and Cole. Rizzo should have charged that ball, and Cole should have covered first base. So it's just really crazy to think that that's kind of how just the season ended for the Yankees, and it's got to leave a really bad taste in Yankees fans' mouth.
Yeah, it absolutely does have to sting, because when you look at both of these teams, yeah, making it to the World Series is impressive, but it's kind of considered a failure with the amount of money you put in. It's kind of like World Series or bust. So, unfortunately for the Yankees, I feel like this is a season you can't really be satisfied with, and it's got to leave a bitter taste in the mouth knowing that the Dodgers are not going to get any worse after this.
And if you think about it, the Yankees have a big offseason coming with them, too, because Juan Soto, he pretty much already said that any team is open to him right now. And the amount of money that man's going to command right away is insane, and the Yankees got to be ready to put up any price. I feel like he's going to be like over $500 million, right?
Probably.
Like that. Yeah.
I think that's like the biggest question. It's just so funny how like the Major League Baseball season ends and the off season starts right away. I mean, there was a trade already today. Jorge Soler got traded to the Angels from the Braves. But I mean, I think that's the biggest question. I think that's what we could kind of wrap up with. As soon as the game ended, it's like, well, Soto, you're going to be back in pinstripes next year. And he's like, you know, he's PR trained, and he's like, yeah, you know, I had a great season. It's disappointing that this happened, but I'm open to signing with any team. He literally said, I'm open to signing with all 30 teams, whoever calls. So let's just do it now. Juan Soto prediction next year. Where do we think that Juan Soto could be taking his talents?
All right, so I like being a jinx. I'm just going to ruin the vibe. Juan Soto, he's going to be in Wrigley next year.
I mean, I was going to say the same thing. We want every single year that him to come to the Cubs, but it's not going to happen. It's probably go back to the Yankees if I had to guess, but a sleeper team I could see is probably San Francisco, if I could say one.
Okay.
Yeah, I got him coming back.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. I think he's going to want to run it back. They have the money to do so. But outside of that, I would say the sleeper teams, don't count out the Mets, because, mm-hmm. you know, the Mets just missed out on making the World Series this past year. And, you know, we know their owner is willing to spend money. And I could totally see him pulling a Kevin Durant. I'm sorry. Like, I could totally see him.
I didn't want to say
like, it. Like, there's a good chance it happens. We know the Dodgers are willing to spend money. So, I mean, we got a full season, off season of baseball coverage coming your way. And obviously, everyone is going to be following where Juan Soto ends up going. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to be doing our weekly NFL Pick 6. WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Bosch, Joey LeMaster, Jasper Jones back at you with another week of our weekly NFL Pick 6. Let's take a look at the standings really quick. Julian still in the lead at 31-17 on the season. Meanwhile, Steve just two games behind him at 29-19 after my 5-1 week last week, creeping back a little bit at 28-20. Joey in fourth at 27-21 and our guest 26-22. So Jasper, you got some ground to cover here today. I know, I had a really good week, and it kind of went based on, and we'll talk about the Bears obviously in a little bit, but you know, I keep making the pick against the Bears, and that was like the only win that came out of anything in that game. We'll talk about it a little bit more in a bit, but let's start with tonight, Thursday Night Football, Texans and Jets. The Texans are having a solid season. They're one of the best teams in the AFC, but the problem is they are just so injury riddled. Nico Collins has been out for a couple weeks, and it was just announced this week that Stephon Diggs, who they traded for in the offseason, will miss the rest of the year with a torn ACL. Meanwhile, the Jets are a true dumpster fire. It cannot be any worse at MetLife Stadium as Aaron Rodgers. They have no coach. They traded for Davante Adams. And somehow they are the favorite going into tonight's game. So Joey, I'll start with you. Who are you going with in this matchup between the Texans and Jets? Another Jets primetime game.
Yeah, for some reason, the Jets and the Steelers just get all the primetime action in the world. And Vegas has me so concerned on this one because I think it's like obviously the Texans. Like, yeah, I know that they have the injuries, but the Jets have been a dumpster fire. And the Texans, they still have weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I'm so conflicted on this one only because of Las Vegas, but I'm going to trust my gut, which means I'm making a mistake. So I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, for me, it's the type of game where I feel like I'm making the wrong decision just based off of the injuries. But I'm going to take the Texans just because I feel like CJ Stroud needs to win a game where he doesn't have all the weapons possible and just prove that he's actually still a top five or so quarterback in the league.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Texans in this one. I just feel like there's too much dysfunction in New York. Like you said, they're a dumpster fire. They don't look good right now in any means. So I think CJ Stroud's going to light it up tonight with no weapons.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean with you guys on this one. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, the Jets need a win so badly, but I feel like we've said that, what, 3 or 4 weeks in a row on Pick 6 because they're always making on this schedule somehow. But, yeah, I think it's going to... I could see it being like a potential shootout tonight. I don't know why. Like, I just have that weird feeling. But it's just something about CJ Stroud. He has managed to withstand all the injuries that have happened this year. And the Texans are just getting win after win after win. And they're a much better team than the Jets are. So I'm going to lean the Texans. And we are all going with the Texans as Steve also went that way. All right. Our next game on the dock is Cowboys and Falcons. A lot of questions being raised in Jerry's world right now as they are under 500 at 3-4. Not necessarily playing bad, just cannot sneak out a win for the life of them. Meanwhile, the Falcons look like the true front runner to win the NFC South as there's a lot of injuries on the Buccaneers side. The Saints are a mess, and we already know what the Carolina Panthers are. So, Joey, I'll start with you on this one. Who are you leaning in this matchup?
Yeah, so I'm going for a team that I think it's duo win. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. The Falcons, I kind of see as a streaky team where, like, yeah, there's some games where they should win, and they just don't. And I think it's kind of one of these scenarios with how the Cowboys are due. Dak's still a solid quarterback. They still have a solid team around them. I can see the Dallas Cowboys pulling out a victory this weekend.
I got the Falcons. I just feel like this team's gotten better and better every single week, and Kirk Cousins is like finally getting into his mold out in Atlanta. So the Cowboys have been struggling so much that I just feel like they're not going to get out the slump this year. This does not seem like their year this year, so give me Kirk in Atlanta.
I don't know. I got the Cowboys taking this one as well, Joey. I just feel like you said, they're due for a win. It just feels right. Dak, like you said, is still a great quarterback. They just have had some untimely games to play, and it just hasn't rolled their way.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean with you guys as well. I don't know what it is about Dallas, but they just need to win so badly. And I feel like the games, besides that Lions game, which was just a plummeting, the Cowboys have been in every single one of their games this year for the most part. And I just think that they desperately need a win. I think the Falcons are a really good team, but it's just one of those games where like someone has to lose, and it almost feels like if the Cowboys lose this game, like it's almost like win or die time for Dak and the boys in Dallas, because if they don't win this, like, I can't even imagine what the media is going to do with it. Like, there's going to be serious questions about Mike McCarthy, as well as Jerry Jones. So, I'm not a discredit to the Falcons, but I just think the Cowboys seriously need a win, and I think they're going to bounce back nicely this week. All right, let's go up next to the Bears and the Cardinals. The Cardinals keep finding ways to win, but they also managed to find ways to lose as well. Been one of the weirdest teams in the NFL this season. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's probably been playing Call of Duty all week. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears thought they had a win last week, and just a tip drill ends up losing them on the Hail Mary from Jaden Daniels, and the Bears are now 4-3 on the season. Bears, I think, desperately need a win in this one. Joey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, speaking of teams that find a way to lose, the Chicago Bears. Normally, I come into this segment and I'm like, I do like my little like energetic, let's go Bears, they're gonna win this week. But this is the first, time of the season. I'm not gonna lie, I felt nervous because if you don't win this one, the season's almost over, because you get the Patriots after this, and then you have a complete death march of games just after that. I'm still gonna go with the Bears because I think they also know this is a must-win game, and you're not going against the strongest team in the whole NFL. The Bears got this one. They're gonna need a bounce back game, and there's gotta be some legendary stuff happening, or else there might be some faces we might not see come the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I was out at that game in Washington when the Bears lost, and I could just tell you right now, every single Bears fan that just saw that play happen just went silent for the rest of the time I was there. But this is the type of game they need to win now. You went up against a team that you should have won against after a very ugly game. They should not have won it in the first place, how they played. But you had it handed to you on a silver platter, and you just didn't take it. You play the Cardinals now this week. They've been all right, nothing crazy. But you need to win against them this week because, like you said, their schedule the rest of the way out is not easy for them at all, so they got to win it.
I'm also taking the Bears this week. I just, after last week's loss, yeah, I was pretty devastating. I wasn't even in the stadium. It was just a tough way to lose on a Hail Mary attempt where we know we had, Tyreek Stevenson down there just doing whatever he was doing, going towards the crowd. Things like that just have to change, and a bounce-back win is definitely going to be needed for the Bears this week.
Yeah, that was honestly, I've had a lot of heartbreak as a Chicago sports fan. That's one of the top moments I think I've ever had to face. And I can't even imagine what it was you at the stadium.
It was
but,
so bad.
You know, it's almost like it was gift wrapped to you for a win, and then just crucial coaching mistakes, a player mistake on Tyreek Stevenson. And, I mean, it starts to raise a lot of questions with this Bears team. And it's almost like a loss that if they continue to lose, it's that's the loss that tore the season apart, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to change my stance on what I've been doing because they've been winning all the games that I pick against them because they need a win this week. Not to discredit the Cardinals. I think this could be a great game because the Cardinals have been playing some pretty good football, but I'm going to go with the Bears this week. I just have to in my heart of hearts. It scares me to pick them, but because if that Hail Mary wasn't completed last weekend, I'd be picking the Cardinals right now. For those of you that don't know, I pick against the Bears every week because I feel like it's better for me. So I'm going to go with the Bears this week.
Steve, the only one going with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Steve is the only one going with the Cardinals. Makes sense. He is a Lions fan, and the Lions just seem to win everything. All right, let's go to Sunday night. This game was actually flexed to Sunday night pretty recently here. It is the Colts and Vikings. Big news out of Indianapolis this week. Joe Flacco is now the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts as Anthony Richardson goes to the bench after what has been a very disappointing sophomore season. Meanwhile, the Vikings kind of limping after their 5-0 start. They've lost two in a row. A questionable call last Thursday, but I still think they lose that game anyways. So I think we got a good one brewing up here on Sunday Night Football, especially now with Flacco at the helm of the Colts.
Yeah, so this is time for Joey to make his weekly mistake where he changes his pick last second. I was going with the Vikings, but Joe Flacco just finds ways to win games. I can't really understand it. He just has that dog in him, and how good he was earlier in the season, the connection he has with Downs, they just got a good team building. The Colts are a good team. They're just held back by Anthony Richardson, who still has the potential to be a good quarterback. I'm not writing him off just yet. I like the Colts. The Vikings, they're in a bad slump as well. Give me the Colts this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trap game for the Vikings. It's just a trap game for them. But I'm still going to take them just because I like Joe Flacco and everything, but Sam Darnold's been so good this year. And after losing last week, they got to get a win. So, yeah, give me the Vikings on this one.
Sad to see, a second-year quarterback just sub himself out of a game like that. But, yeah, I'm also going to take the Vikings. That defense has been, ferocious this year. And also, I can't bet against Justin Jefferson coming out and just performing. And I like Joe Flacco also. I just don't know if he's going to get the job done against the defense.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with Joey on this one. There's just something about Flacco, man.
Joe Flacco aura currently being talked about.
I love Joe Flacco. He's a legend. The Vikings are stumbling, and I had a weird feeling about this, that this was going to happen after their first loss. I think there was a team a couple years ago that started the year 5-0 and then ended up losing all 12. That's not going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Or am I mixing it up? Was it 0-5 and then win the next 12? Whatever it might be. There's something about the Colts that I like in this game, and it's probably Joe Flacco. The Vikings are still a very good team. We've seen it all year, and they've played in close games the last 2 weeks. But, yeah, I'm going to roll with the Colts on this one. Want to be a little different. So, yeah. What's up, Joe?
I don't got nothing to say.
Oh, I thought you were tapping. It's time for you to go.
My bad.
All right, no worries. All right, Monday night. Buccaneers and the Chiefs. The Chiefs still have yet to lose, the defending back-to-back champions. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers are just limping right now as Chris Godwin's out probably for the rest of the season. Mike Evans continues to deal with that hamstring injury, and Baker's just trying everything possible to win. But I think it might come tough against Patrick Mahomes and these Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs are due for a loss, but I just can't see it happening yet with how injury-riddled this Buccaneers team is, and still trying to figure out the backfield as well. It's just kind of Baker is going to throw 4 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. We kind of get like the new Jameis Winston season, which is, I guess, fun to watch. But the Chiefs, they're on fire. They're going to get Pacheco back soon. It's just real dangerous. I'm trying to figure out when this team's going to lose, but it just will not be this week.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, they always just figured it out. Like, Mahomes has not played good some games, and they just still figure it out. So I cannot bet against him again. Give me the Chiefs for this game, because that man Mahomes always just wins games, even if it's the toughest game possible.
Patrick Mahomes had a thing. He said, I don't like to win games in a blowout. I just like to keep it close to the end. And I think this week is going to be a blowout. I think there's too many injuries on that Buccaneers side of the ball. I love Baker Mayfield. Love his story. Playing great this year, but you're facing the defending back-to-back champs, and I honestly got him running it back 3 times, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to go in that direction, too. Steve also picked the Chiefs. It just makes too much sense. I think, what is this? They're going to start 7-0 because they've had their bye? Or no, I think it'd be 8-0 now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's impressive what they're able to do. I think we talked about it on the show. They're the Patriots. They just win games no matter what. They've officially molded into that, and it just has been no championship slump for those Chiefs. So, can't bet against Patrick Mahomes, and I feel really bad for what the Buccaneers have been dealing with this season. All right, final game. Our pick 6 game of the week, as voted by you guys on our Instagram at WZND on Instagram. You can pick every single week our game of the week. And this week we're going to the NFC North for a clash between the Lions and Packers. The Lions are off to probably one of their best starts in franchise history. They are just killing teams left and right, scoring so many points. And meanwhile, the Packers still finding ways to win games, taking away the ball more than any other team in the NFL, but they might have some issues at quarterback. Might be Malik Willis, might be Jordan Love. Who really knows? It's still a question up in the air, but either way, they've still found ways to win games with both quarterbacks. Joey, I'll start with you. Who are you going with?
Yeah, I know the Packers, they have a better record this season with Malik Willis starting again, but he just has not gone against the Detroit Lions. And just how this team is just incredible at every aspect of the game. It's just ridiculous. Kind of like the Chiefs. I know they don't have the history of the Chiefs have, but the Lions team this season is just kind of impossible to bet against them. So let me ride with the Detroit Lions this week.
Yeah, the Lions, every single week, they just surprise me more and more at the types of plays that they just run, because it looks like backyard football half the time. And they're just so much more fun to watch. They're such a good team now, and they're so complete. So give me the Lions in this one.
I love watching the Lions, and that's coming from a Bears fan.
Yeah.
Like, going out there, you can tell that they just really love playing for their coach, the play calling and everything. I'm taking the Lions this week.
Kind of what Jasper said and Julian, they're so much fun to watch. David Montgomery's throwing touchdown passes. The Packers, I'm not going to discredit them. They're a really good team, but there's just something different about this Lions team. I mean, it just feels like, I said at the beginning of the year, team of destiny, and they are living up to that and more throughout this season. Once again, that was another edition of Pick 6 and another edition of the Red Zone. Jasper, thank you so much for joining the show. Once again, we'll be back every week from 6 to 7 every Thursday. Everyone have a happy and safe Halloween.